It's always good to be able to say good morning, because I look at the clock just before it hits 12. It's still morning. Let me just pray for God's word before we begin. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, how wonderful it is to sing of your faithfulness, to hear of your faithfulness, Lord, in the things that have been shared this morning, Lord God, and even in the thankfulness, Lord God, given by your people, tells forth your faithfulness. Lord, thank you that you are a faithful God. Because, Lord, it's so important to us, because all our hope, all our trust is in you. And we believe, Lord God, because Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us, that you, Lord God, will keep every promise that you have made. So, Lord, as we continue in our series, Till Shiloh Comes, you, Lord God, would express more of your faithfulness to us through these passages, through your word this morning, enabling us to realize that if God can make a promise and keep it 5,000 years later, then surely he will keep the promises that he makes us in the short span of our lives. Lord, thank you for loving us. Amen. Last week, Keith spoke about the harbinger of God. And a harbinger is a person who sort of like goes ahead and makes known the approach of another. Or a more modern term would be a herald, or anything that foreshadows a future event is a harbinger. So, you know, when you see the leaves falling off the trees, that is a harbinger that winter is coming. When you see the green shoots of growth in the spring, that's also telling you that summer is coming. And so anything that foreshadows a future event, a sign of that which is to come, is a harbinger. And from Isaiah, and that's the prophet of the Old Testament, God, he was God's appointed harbinger. From Isaiah, Keith showed how the promised seed of the woman, do you remember we were talking about the promised seed of the woman from the Garden of Eden, who would come to crush Satan's head? This promised seed, whom Jacob spoke about 2,500 years later, was called Shiloh. And see, even in that time span, the faithfulness of God. He spoke in the Garden of Eden that once Satan deceived Eve and Adam into eating of the forbidden fruit, and sin entered into them, and their fellowship with God was marred, God promised, the first promise, a seed with a capital S, a seed of the woman would come who would crush Satan's head. In other words, God was going to do what God had to do to get his beloved back. Well, Jacob tells us 2,500 years later from the Garden of Eden that the promised seed has now got a name, and that name is Shiloh. 1,000 years after Jacob, the name seed Shiloh is changed to child. A child would be born, and he would be called, again, names. And Billy was just talking about the names there a moment ago, and how every name of God, every name of Jesus, has a promise within it. This child would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. If ever there was a clue in the Old Testament about what was going to happen, here it is. A child would be born to a virgin, and his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. He would also be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so when you hear this, Everlasting Father, does it not remind you when Philip said to Jesus, Jesus, show us the Father? And Jesus says, what? Have I been with you such a long time and still you don't know me? I and the Father are one. So he's called Emmanuel, God with us. He's called Wonderful, because he is wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is the one Israel was told to wait for. This was the Messiah, the promised deliverer, the promised Savior. This was the person that Jacob told his son Judah about, the one to whom everything rightfully belongs, particularly the throne of David. So this morning, we're moving forward from Isaiah, approximately, and we're not going to jump too far ahead this time. We're moving from Isaiah approximately 300 years to the last book of the Old Testament, a guy called Malachi, or if you're from our Hebrew is Malachi, but if you're from Belfast, we'll call him Malachi. And he is another harbinger of God. Malachi was one of the last three prophets, along with Haggai and Zechariah, who prophesied during the Second Temple era in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. Now, sometimes for some people who don't read their Bible, they're wondering who these people are. The thing to do is read your Bible and find out. So you have Malachi, who's one of the last three prophets. He prophesied at the same time as Haggai and Zechariah in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. And remember how the first temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar's army and the people were taken into captivity in Babylon. Well, 70 years later, God used a guy called Nehemiah and another called Ezra to lead the captives back from their captivity in Babylon, back to the land of Israel, to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple. The people once again served the Lord, and it was great celebrations. The young ones who came back were rejoicing, and it was absolutely wonderful. Such a celebration. And the old ones were gurning, they were crying, because they looked at the temple and thought, it's nothing like the first one. But still, the Lord blessed them. It was a time of great celebration. The people once again served the Lord. But as had previously happened, they quickly forgot the Lord again. They forgot his ways, and they lived and they did as they pleased. And the fundamental message, if you want to read the book of Malachi, and you'll know, you'll be delighted to know there's only four chapters in it, and chapter four is very short. So I would recommend that you do read it. But the fundamental message of Malachi is this. God told him, deliver this message to the Jews. Remember the law of Moses, my servant. I know people who go to Malachi and say, oh, this is about God telling people, if you don't give me your money, then you're going to be robbing me and you're not going to get any blessing. All of that's in there, but we don't preach a prosperity gospel. The fundamental message of the book of Malachi is, tell the Jews, remember the law of Moses, my servant. And what he's saying is, if Israel, because here is the law of Moses summed up in a sentence. If Israel obeyed God, they would be blessed. If not, they would be cursed. And one reason that God wanted Malachi to convey this message was because God knew for the next 400 years there would be no prophet in Israel and there would be no word from God. So from Isaiah prophesying about the virgin giving birth to a child who would be called Emmanuel and all of these wonderful names, we jump 300 years to Malachi, the last book of the Bible, and we're told now that he needed to tell the people, remember the law of Moses, my servant, because for the next 400 years, you're not going to hear a word from God. Imagine this morning. Imagine if you never got to hear or read the Word of God for even a year. There are men and women incarcerated in prisons throughout this world for their faith in Jesus who would give their right arm for a page of the Bible. Never mind a Bible. There are men and women who are murdered because they possess a Bible or because they speak the name of Jesus. Imagine if you this morning were never to hear the Word of God or read it for another year? How would it affect your life? How would it affect your walk with God? You see, I know some who profess to be Christians and say that they don't need to go to church. But I will argue with them from the Word of God, if God puts you up, if God gives you up to your belief that you don't need to go to church, it is a sign of judgment, not a blessing. God expects His people to hunger for and humble themselves under His Word and to do it, to practice it. No good reading it, no good singing about it, no good telling other people about it if you're not living it, if you're not practicing it. The book of Malachi is filled with wonderful truths and lessons for us all, but I want to focus on a particular aspect of the message God gave him. Turn please to Malachi chapter 3. And I'm just going to read the first verse of Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Listen to what is being said here. Behold, I will send my messenger. I will send my, capital M, my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, capital M. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Turn please to chapter 4, and I'll read this very quickly. It's only 6 verses. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On that day, on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts, remember the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah of the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. When you read this, Malachi is filled with wonderful truths and lessons for us all. Malachi speaks, however, of two messengers whom the Lord would send to his people. The first messenger would be another harbinger, a herald proclaiming, prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way of the Lord. The second is called the messenger of the covenant. And look, it has a capital M. There is a clue there. The second is called the messenger of the covenant, whom the Lord declares is coming. And this again refers to the promised seed of the woman who would come to crush Satan's head. That same seed of whom Jacob, when he spoke, declared, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall the obedience of the people be. 1,000 years later, Isaiah calls Shiloh the child who would be born of a virgin. Yet this child would also be called Emmanuel, which means God with us, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is the one Israel was to watch for, their Messiah, their Deliverer and Savior. And Malachi also speaks of the coming day of judgment that would utterly burn up or destroy the wicked. But for those who fear the Lord, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. You see, again, we can see the link. When we consider the phrase till Shiloh come from a Hebrew perspective, from the Garden of Eden right through to the last of the prophets in the Old Testament to Malachi, we can see, however, that it doesn't just mean the advent or the incarnation or the birth of Jesus, but it also speaks of the second coming of Jesus. Because when we know that when the baby Jesus came into the world, he didn't come with judgment. He didn't bring fire and brimstone down upon the wicked. So when we hear till Shiloh comes from the Garden of Eden right up to Malachi, we know that that is speaking about the birth of this child born of a virgin who would be called Emmanuel. But it also speaks of a coming judgment, that when Jesus returns, he will bring with him the whole wrath of God. God warned the Jewish people to remember the law of Moses, because 400 years would pass before the next and the last harbinger would come. And that messenger would proclaim, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Turn please to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we're reading from verse 5, and I'll go through this very quickly. "There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless." These were people who took on board what was proclaimed some years earlier by Malachi. Remember the law of Moses. It says it about them. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. I think I would have chosen other words if I had seen the angel. I think I'd have been more than troubled. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias." I would have answered, "Yeah, it's easy for you to say." "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, for he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah." Listen. "He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "Well, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and to bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he had beckoned to them and remained speechless. And so it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me, to take away my reproach among people. We'll just read over it, verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came to her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Verse 63. And he asked for a writing pad. This is Zacharias. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." So they all marveled. John the Baptist, as you and I know him as, was the messenger of whom Malachi spoke. Do you remember Malachi spoke about two messengers? One would come who says, "Prepare the way of the Lord," and the second would be the messenger of the covenant. John the Baptist was the messenger of whom Malachi spoke, the one who would come to warn people to repent and prepare the way of the Lord. And when questioned by the religious leaders about his messiahship some years later, they asked Jesus, "Did God not say Elijah would come first before the Messiah?" And Jesus said, "John the Baptist is the Elijah that the word spoke about." John had come in the same fashion as Elijah, as the last of the Old Testament or the Old Covenant prophets. Malachi's message to the Jewish people was, remember the law of Moses and watch out for two messengers. One proclaims, prepare the way of the Lord, and the other is the messenger of the covenant. Till Shiloh comes, tells us, he who is Emmanuel, he who is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, will be the messenger of the covenant. Shiloh was coming to rescue his people and restore their relationship with God. And you know what? This is so fantastic, because this is all enveloped, this is all encompassed by the incredible love of God. That way back in the Garden of Eden, when Satan came in and robbed God of the glory of enjoying his intimate relationship with the highest of his creation, God had already a plan in place that would allow him to restore that relationship and for him to be reconciled to man and man to be reconciled to God. Shiloh was coming to rescue his people and restore their relationship with God. He would usher in the new covenant that God had spoken of many times throughout Israel's history. From the Garden of Eden, where he is the seed of the woman, 2,500 years later, Jacob names him Shiloh. 1,000 years after Jacob, Isaiah calls him the child to be born of a virgin whose name is Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. 300 years forward to the days of Malachi, he is called the messenger of the covenant. Who could ever suggest that you can't find Jesus in the Old Testament? You'd need to have a white stick to be able to say, "I couldn't find Jesus." You know, if you're reading, you need to be blind if you're reading, can't see Jesus in the Old Testament. And finally, after the 300 years where we're told he is called the messenger of the covenant, 400 years after that, when there is no word from God whatsoever, God's last old covenant harbinger has arrived. And guess what he's going to proclaim? Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. And you got to understand something here, and we'll find out probably next week a wee bit about that. They're only 3 months apart, I think it is. 6 months apart. They're only 6 months apart. You're not going to have to wait 2,500 years for the messenger of the new covenant to come. Sometimes when God moves, it happens so suddenly, it takes you by surprise. And other times, it can take 2,500 years. But you know what? God is God, and I'm not going to argue with him. Finally, God's last old covenant harbinger has arrived to proclaim, prepare the way of the Lord. From the eternal council of the Godhead, That's way before the Garden of Eden, from the eternal council of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, down through the centuries amid the topsy-turvy history of the people of Israel, you can hear the distinct voice whispering, "Till Shiloh comes! Till Shiloh comes!" This is God's deliverer. This is God's savior. This is the Messiah of Israel. And this is Jesus. Christian, this morning the message of Malachi resonates down to us. Remember the word of God and watch out. Be ready. For Shiloh is coming soon. We, you and I, we are now the harbingers of God, proclaiming to the unbelieving world, prepare the way of the Lord. Make yourself ready for the return of Shiloh. Make yourself ready for the return of Jesus. We understand what Titus meant when he called it the blessed hope of the believer. This is our blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. God our Father gives us every opportunity to hear and to do his word, and we should take them and do it. Are you hungry for the Word of God today? Do you humble yourself under the teaching of God's Word? Do you seek to live according to the Word of the Lord? Do you put into practice what Jesus said? If you love me, you will do what I say. We are called to be people whose lives reflect this truth, till Shiloh comes. I want to speak this morning to those who profess to be Christians. And I speak to those who profess to be Christians but feel. Please listen to me. Those who profess to be Christians but feel in their duty of care to God, and feel in their duty of care to God's people by refusing to attend church and are not hungry for and do not humble themselves under the word of God. This is not what God wants from you or for you. God warns you to take heed of the message of Malachi. Remember the word of God and do it. Maybe this morning there's someone here or someone tuned in through Facebook or the podcast listening. Well, let me say to you, if you're not a Christian, God has clearly demonstrated his love for you by sending his son Jesus into the world to die in your place, so that you can be forgiven for your sins, so that you can be reconciled to God. If you continue to reject this truth, if you continue to reject God's love, you remain in a position where the judgment of Almighty God hangs over your head. Repent. Turn around from living your life your way. Turn around from your sinful practices and sinful ways. Repent and believe God's word before Shiloh comes and you will have left it too late to be saved. God loves you, but his word to you today is Shiloh is coming soon. Make yourself ready. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful word, Lord God, you give us. How incredible. When we really delve into the Old Testament, we can see Jesus everywhere. Lord, thank you that you are a faithful God. We know, Lord God, before the Garden of Eden, in the counsel of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you came up with a wonderful, wonderful salvation plan. Satan thought, Lord God, he had robbed you of all the glory when he got Eve and Adam, Lord God, to disobey and to sin. But you initiated the plan. And how wonderful, Lord God, that plan is. Thank you, Father, that you have always loved us and that it was always in your heart to reconcile us to you and you to us. And the only way that that could be possible was to send your Son Jesus into this world as a sinless sacrifice to pay the debt that we could never pay. Jesus, we thank you that you offered yourself perfectly as the perfect sacrifice for sin, and that those who trust in you are perfectly justified in the eyes of Almighty God. Lord, we believe that we can see the faithfulness of God in the promises from the Garden of Eden right through to the book of Malachi. We can see the faithfulness of God, and we see the faithfulness of God in the coming of John the Baptist and then of Jesus himself. But Lord, help us to remember that we can also see the faithfulness of God as we await the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, please, to have faith in you, because you are our faithful God. Amen.